boot. Once the cases were on the pavement, Jancis carried them to the front door while Rita settled the cab fare. She had no sooner taken her purse out of her handbag than she spotted something in her peripheral vision, causing her to look up. Too late. Before she knew what was happening, a youth swung by on a bike. Maintaining his speed while riding one-handed, he snatched her purse and zoomed past. She gave chase, yelling and screaming. Jancis joined her when he realised she had been robbed, but it was no use. They couldn't keep up with a bike, especially not Rita in her high heels, and the youth was soon out of sight. Oh, fine bloody start that is, she cursed. Walking back to the taxi driver, she continued her rant. And a lot of help you were.
Don't blame me, love. If you think I'm leaving my cab round here, you've got another thing coming.
Oh, come off it. Just because my purse has been snatched doesn't mean your cab's going to be robbed.
Doesn't it? You don't know what it's like. How long is it since you've been back, love?
A few years. Why?
I think you'll find it's changed, and not for the better either.
Rita shrugged off his comments, anxious to get inside the house, while Jancis paid the cab fare. Her mother, Joan, answered the door.
Hiya, love, how are you? Where's that lovely husband of yours?
She asked, hugging her daughter while she looked over Rita's shoulder at the dark, chiselled features of Jancis. At 5'7" tall, Jancis wasn't the biggest of men, but he was a perfect match for Rita.
I've just been robbed, ma'am. Some buggers just whipped my purse out of me hands while I was trying to pay for the taxi. You're joking. The bloody swines. What happened? Where are they?
Her mother demanded, and within seconds her parents were both outside, searching up and down the street.
Oh, you're too late. He'll be long gone. There was only one of them. Some kid on a bike. He was off like lightning. Well, what did he look like? Asked Joan. We might be able to find out who he is.
Oh, I don't know.
I only saw the back of him. Young, a teenager, I think. He had a dark hoodie on, navy or black, and jeans. That's about all I saw. It all happened so fast. Oh, I'm sorry, Ray. That's all you need when you've only just got here.
I know, Rita replied, her voice shaking.
It's gonna be loads of hassle. I'll have to cancel all my cards. I'll need to find out the bank's phone number.
Can't trust no one these days,
interrupted her father, Jed, who was hovering behind her mother looking shifty. That wasn't unusual for him, but he looked even more shifty than usual. Rita released her mother and gave him a tentative hug while her mother greeted Jancis. When they had spent a few minutes in the hallway discussing the theft, Joan said to Rita and Jancis,
Come on, you two, I'll make you a cuppa. I bet you could do with one after that. Let's get in and have a sit down.
Although tiny at 5'1" tall, Rita had a big presence. Her towering heels increased her height, and a liberal application of makeup enhanced her moderately attractive features. She had dark brown hair, which she wore in a fashionable textured bob, and was dressed in a smart, casual outfit. Leaving their cases in the hallway, they headed towards the living room. Rita was the first to step into the room and stopped short at the sight of a large, mean-looking black man sprawled across the sofa. Spliff in one hand, can of lager in the other, he was resting against some cushions with his legs stretched out across the coffee table. As Rita entered the room, he took a long, hard drag on the spliff, as though challenging her. Then he slowly exhaled the smoke, his face forming a sneer as he examined her in minute detail. Rita noted the scar that cut across his forehead, the primed muscles and the abundance of tattoos. She saw the letters H-A-T-E tattooed across the fingers of his right hand. Why did these self-professed hard men always have to make a statement with this love and hate tattoo thing? It was so...